Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, psychics, and even Bigfoot. The show is about to begin. And hello everybody out there in the virtual world. I'm Jason Ophir and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am one of your two hosts, also with Sherry Pang, the co-host. How are you doing, Sherry?
Very good. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. 2016. It's hard to believe. Time flies.
Time flies really fast.
I got a noisy dog if you can't hear that.
What kind of dog is he?
It's a little dog. I don't even know, but the dog, I'm laying on a bed, and the dog is like wanting to get up on the bed, so he's barking, and he's pawing at the bed. It's not paranormal. It's not a ghost dog either.
Well, you'll have to get him on the bed.
Well, no, then it'll just distract me the whole time. So, what's going on with you? Do you have a good New Year?
Very good. It's very quiet, and just been taking some pictures of my house and my property. And I'm learning about taking pictures of ghosts, and with the help of Paul Coffey, or one of our special guests, about a couple months ago. He's one of the top paranormal teams in the United States, and he's helping me identify ghosts on pictures. So that's quite interesting, learning something new.
So do you have a lot of spirit activity at your place?
I sure do. A lot.
Like,
where do I begin?
Well, are the walls bleeding? Are there, like, banshees and apparitions floating around, or what? What's going on out there?
Goodness, no. I just feel them. As a psychic medium, I feel them around, and once in a while, I'll have things happening with my electronic equipment. The other night, I took about 10 pictures, and behold, the next day, they were all of them except one were gone. So once in a while, I'll get my electricity disturbances. My printer will go on automatically and start booting up, or just be reasoned or being able to figure it out. So
I know that at the place I was at before, over the period of probably 3 or 4 months, in the middle of the night, the TV downstairs would turn on, and so I'd go down there and. When I got down to the bottom of the stairs, it would start changing channels and going into the menu. And so I'm thinking, you know, okay, maybe somebody's got a remote on the same frequency. But it was pretty creepy. I don't know.
Definitely paranormal activities. You've got somebody down there. Somebody there.
Yeah, I guess there was a ghost of an old man on the property or something. But also, stuff would, like, fall off counters inexplicably. So I don't know. I don't know if the place was haunted or not, but it was definitely some weird things going on. But as you know, I'm kind of a skeptic, and I like to explain things away. But, yeah, a lot of paranormal going on out there. But I did want to say, you know, we don't have a guest this evening. We've both been very busy. But so we want to invite, if anybody wants to call in and share their paranormal stories, you can call in at 215-383-3999. It's 215-383-3999. And if you want to share something with us, that would be awesome. If not, we're just going to wing it tonight. I think we can handle it. Don't you, Sherry?
Definitely. It's fun.
And if it gets too slow, then I can always talk about UFO experiences. But it's my secret weapon. I don't want to break that out just yet.
Okay.
I did do a little research, and I got online, and I was trying to look for some stories, and I ran across something that was a little interesting. It'll take me a little bit to get through it, but I think the listeners might find it interesting. The top 10 most haunted islands. So apparently there's a lot of haunted islands out there in the world, and there's the top 10 I've tracked down, and so we can talk about each one of those, and I can kind of give a little history to it. And so if you're ready, Sherry, maybe I'll just knock this out.
Okay.
All right, number 10. And I don't know if this is in any particular order in terms of being haunted. They all seem very, very haunted. So number 10, Heart Island. It's also known as the Island of the Dead. It's run by the New York City Department of Corrections, and you're not allowed to go there. You're not even, so if you go there, you'll get charged, and you can like spend 1 or 2 years in jail for trespassing. I guess they like to keep a lot of people off that island. But apparently there's a lot of burials began during the American Civil War. It served as a POW camp for 4 months in 1865, in which 3,400 captured Confederate soldiers were housed on the island, and 235 of them died in the camp there. After that, the island then served as a quarantine station when yellow fever hit New York in 1870. And to top it off, if that wasn't bad enough, in 1870, a woman's insane asylum was built there. In 1885, a woman's insane asylum was built there, and it's still standing there today. And then, to keep going, more recently, the island then housed a reformatory for delinquent boys. In World War II, the island was turned over to the Navy to be... This is so terrible. This is such a terrible history. It was used by the Navy as a disciplinary barracks for the Navy, Coast Guard, and Marine personnel, and 2,800 servicemen in custody. Talk about a long history of negativity, illness, insanity, and death. It doesn't get any more extreme than that. What do you think about that? You want to go spend the night on Heart Island? You could. Well, you can't. But.
How much? Is there some kind of sweepstake or involved? Or I would not.
Yeah, no. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned before. This is. I don't know if this is on the list because I haven't scrolled down far enough. But I actually got a tour of Alcatraz. I used to live in the Bay Area, and there are actually catacombs below the prison cells. And they don't let the public down there, but I managed to get access to it when I was young. Went there with a bunch of graduates from the FBI, and they got a tour. And you got to put these hard hats on and go down there. And there's all these weird archways, and it's filled with all this occult stuff written on the walls, and that's probably another really haunted island. It may be on the list, I don't know, but Alcatraz is pretty cool. Have you ever been there?
I have. I'm from the Bay Area also, so I've never been to the island, but I did take a boat ride. So it looked pretty creepy. There's a lot of activity. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I was probably, I don't know, maybe 12 when that went and did that, so it was long before I had any interest in the paranormal, but it would be cool to do it again as an adult with my experience in the paranormal and kind of see if it's haunted. Of course, they say it is, but so number 9, here's one, Star Island. It's part of one of the busiest commercial ports in the Atlantic Ocean, located in New Hampshire, 7 miles off the coast. It was settled in the early 1600s by fishermen. Star Island's history is remarkable. It's been rumored to have activity from pirates and buried treasure. Oh, I love a good buried treasure story. Sarah O'Connor, the island's curator, was interviewed on a TAPS episode about the island, and she described different hauntings that she had experienced and others had witnessed in various buildings of the island. So that's another really haunted one, but what really interests me about that one is buried treasure. It's not paranormal, but I've always loved stories and movies about buried treasure. It'd be neat to take a metal detector there and go over the island. There's definitely a lot of haunted places on the island. There's a chapel there that's worth visiting, which is the source of many ghost sightings. And many people have seen and reported hearing and seeing people inside the chapel through the windows, but when they go inside, they realize that no one's there. There's another frequent sightings of three young sisters who died from scarlet fever in 1863. And yeah, so there's a lot going on Star Island. If anybody ever gets in that area, it might be worth checking out. And I'll just keep going down. Here's number 8, and I don't even know if I can pronounce this correctly. I don't even know. Isla de las Muñecas. And it's in Mexico. It's the also known, famously known, you can look up YouTube videos, and I think it's been on Ghost Adventures and other shows like that, but it's the Island of the Dolls. I personally do not like dolls. I do not own dolls. I will never own dolls because they would creep me out. That and clowns. So I don't think I would be brave enough to stay a night on the Island of the Dolls. How about you, Sherry? You like dolls?
No, I don't. And they are a vessel for the dead, by the way. Dolls and mirrors.
I keep thinking of the movie Chucky. That's probably Chucky. A little bit. Is that an exaggeration? Yeah. I mean, can these like demon dolls come alive? Like homicidal haunted dolls? Huh?
Well, you've heard of Robert the doll, haven't you? The doll from where is it? The Robert. It's a doll that's on display, and he supposedly comes alive. Have you heard about that?
I think I have
Robert
heard.
Doll. It's in Florida. He's on display and does a lot of weird things to people. But, yes, I think they're vessels to the dead, especially those porcelain dolls. I went to see a friend of mine that I was doing a reading, and he had a picture of these porcelain dolls. There must have been, oh, my goodness, easily about 30 to 40 of them. And it's almost like this place was already haunted as it was. But when you looked at these pictures of these porcelain dolls, they looked like they had some kind of spirit in each one of them, and they looked like their eyes would stare right back at you. It's creepy. Very, very creepy.
What's different about porcelain? Is it just that they're older? Or?
I don't know. It's just the feeling. I don't know. Dolls, to me, I've never had a liking for dolls, so I don't know. The porcelain, maybe the history, I don't know. But I've been told that they're a vessel for the dead. Mirrors are the same thing. Old furniture.
Like if you died, why would you want to stay in a chair or a doll? I don't understand. Is it just that they want to be connected to the earthly world, so they pick something that they're close to? Like maybe somebody had a favorite chair or a doll?
They could be. It could be. It's hard to say. Or just they haven't moved. Their spirit hasn't moved on, and they just want to entertain people. Or they could be
so
delicious. I don't know.
So it's probably a good idea not to buy antique furniture or antique dolls then?
Some people love them. Mm-hmm. So okay, it's a personal choice.
I know you can go on eBay and people like specifically sell haunted dolls. I think it's a scam, though. I mean, somebody could just go to a thrift store and buy a bunch of old dolls and be like, oh, yeah, this doll is haunted by a dozen spirits of ancient Americans or something.
That could be. Yeah, they could say anything just to have a sale, so make it marketable.
Yeah. So the Island of the Dolls is situated in Oche, you know, I'm not good at pronouncing anything. Ochimilco, Mexico. It's in the heart of the old Aztec canals. In the 1950s, a man named Don Julian Santana Barrera made the small island home. Soon after he arrived, he reported hearing the voice of a little girl who's said to have previously drowned there while playing with her two friends. It is after that frightful experience that Don Julian began bringing dolls to the island, hanging them in the trees. Yeah, that sounds totally freaky. And there's talk of ancient evil spirits wandering the canals. The locals claim that over time the dolls become charged with the girls' paranormal energy, and many who have passed the island in the night have seen the dolls move and whisper. That sounds like that would make a good horror movie. Yikes.
Horror movie. Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe you can bring your paranormal equipment and we can check it out.
I don't know. But, well, I mean, I would do it. I mean, I'm not like a total sissy. I mean, I would go there and do it. But I would do it from the position of trying to debunk it, just because that's the kind of person I am. In 2001, the caretaker of the island, Don Julian, was found dead, face down in the water, at the same spot the little girl drowned. Locals claim that his spirit now haunts the place. Local paranormal investigator Don Mendez, who was interviewed by the Destination Truth TV show, said that Don Julian kept saying to his nephew that he heard voices and singing coming from the water, calling to him, but he was too frightened to go. And so there's this long story and long history of this island with the dolls. And I want to say it was Ghost Adventures I watched not terribly long ago. I don't watch a lot of ghost shows, if you can imagine that. But I did catch that one, and it was pretty interesting. And they captured some evidence there. And I'm trying to remember. I remember they were in the cabin, and there were a bunch of dolls in this cabin, and one of them was like making a noise that they couldn't figure out. But you know, with these ghost shows, I'm highly skeptical of them because I know it's ratings. I mean, you can't send a production crew somewhere to investigate a haunted location and have nothing happen. So I'm really skeptical. But who knows? Maybe there are evil haunted dolls there for sure.
Well, also, you know, with these radios and these TV shows, they take the best. They literally edit a sequence. They take the best, and within a half an hour or an hour, they show you the best of what they captured. So, yeah, that is
do you think that they fake it? Because I know, like, some of the shows, a lot of people have said that they've faked certain evidence. They've, like, analyzed the show and realized that, I don't remember which shows, but they pointed out some inconsistencies that possibly suggested that some of the stuff was set up. You just can't really trust anything on television as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. You have to be skeptical and wonder if what their ulterior motive is. Is it to get, like you said, good ratings, or they're actually helping those that are, you know, what's the purpose of hunting ghosts in the first place? Are they trying to help with the people, or what, you know, fame, or whatever it is? You have to look at their motives behind it. Exactly.
Do you think that technology will ever get to a point where they can conclusively prove that ghosts actually exist? Or do you think that's just going to, it's kind of like UFOs, where we're never really going to know, but we're going to have a bunch of theories and have pseudoscience that kind of suggests that it does exist?
I believe that they do now, because cameras, they pick up the cameras, and you looking at it from a very skeptical side, but some of the times when you take a picture, you wonder what are these orbs or anomalies, or, you know, these figures that are supposedly within your mind, not in your mind's eye, but in your physical eyesight. You don't see them, and the camera picks them up. So you have to look at whether dust or, you know, any type of, you know, excuses or anything that could debunk whether there are ghosts or whatever. But I really feel that they do exist. I know they do exist, and I know that the cameras, let's put it this way, I took 23 pictures in the dark. Out of 23 pictures of my first level of my home, one picture came out, and there was faces all over. You'll have to see it before. I'll have to show it to you, Jason. You'll have to question if there is such a thing, and why was it all of a sudden out of 23 one was exposed? No flash, no nothing. I don't know. I'm not an expert at it, but it makes me wonder. So,
How do you sleep at night with all faces around? I mean, if it's real,
well,
then that would be a little bit.
You know, in the line
concerning.
I work, I'll tell you, hey, you know, as a sensitive, you're attracted to them and they love you. And, you know, being that the house, my first love of my house, is built in 1895, there's a lot of history in there. So I just tell them, you know, they can stay if they want to, just protect myself, protect the people in my home, protect the home, and protect the property. And that's all I ask. I'm just the gatekeeper. And that's how I feel. And they're there. I know they're there. They're just hang out. So.
How can you... If you're inviting them to stay there, I mean, how do you know you're not getting a spirit of some serial killer from the 1800s?
I don't feel that way because the energy is just, the energy is just, I just know they're there. I don't turn it on and I don't read them. I know that they want to connect with me, but I don't feel at all. I already sage my place, and I really believe that, you know, I draw in really good things. So I don't have any weird things like shadow people or weird, you know. I just know they don't exist in my home. I won't let them. They're just not going to in my own mind. So.
I didn't realize that your place was that old. I need to come out there and check it out.
Oh, yes. We got to have to do a radio show here. Definitely.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, we could do a live investigation. You know, I pulled out all my camera equipment, and I realized that I'm missing a critical component that I've got to now track down. I can't do any paranormal investigations until I have this thing, and I don't know where it went, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to find the part I need. So, I don't have any camera.
What part are you looking for?
Well, it's a four-channel camera, night vision DVR system, and I'm missing the wires that connect the powers to the camera. So all the camera power wires come and they connect into this thing that allows them to have power, and I have all the other cords, but it's just this specific connector I need. So I can't power up the cameras, and I was trying to think where can I? I don't know if Radio Shack would carry that, or I might have to contact the manufacturer and see if they have replacement parts. So that's yet another thing on my list of to-dos that I'll eventually get around to it. I'll have to track that down. Well, once I get that, come out to your house with set up cameras.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly. McMiniman's, too. We talked about it earlier, McMiniman's Grand Lodge.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool, too. And I think I told you I had a friend contact me saying that we could get into one of these old bars in downtown Portland that are connected to the world-famous Shanghai Tunnels. And for the people that don't know, the Shanghai Tunnels are, you know, back in the old days, all these bars and brothels and whatever they were used to have trap doors in them and stuff that used to go into these tunnels that had holding cells. And what would happen is Portland, Oregon, where we're located, is a big shipping port because we have the Columbia River, and the Portland sits on the Columbia River, and the ships needed people. So they would get these, people would get drunk in these bars, and they'd get drugged or just pass out, and they'd, you know, put them through these trap doors and then hold them against their will. And a lot of times when they came to, they would be on a boat. And when you're sailing on a boat and you finally become conscious again, you can't exactly jump off. So I think that's where the term Shanghai came from.
Did you know, Jason, that the Shanghai Tunnels in Portland, Oregon, is voted haunted place, one of the haunted cities in the United States?
I knew that there were a lot of haunted locations, and I've heard that the Shanghai Tunnels are really haunted. I've never been there, but I did investigate a place that is connected to the Shanghai Tunnels, which is a very old bar called the White Eagle, and I did notice some strange things there. We went there. It was the very first investigation I did. I believe the year was 2008. And so we rented a room on the second floor. I think it's only two stories. And on the first floor, they had play a band, and it's a bar, and you can order food and stuff. So I just get there with my team, and we get the room that's reportedly the hauntedest room. And I don't remember what room it was. I want to say it's 3 or 33 or something. So I get up there, and I walk in the room, and it felt like walking in a wall. It was like as soon as I stepped 1 foot in this room, I was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to stay the night in here, because it's hard to describe the vibe. It was just not a pleasant feeling. And so I set everything down and decided to get something to eat. So I went down to the restaurant, ate something, came back up, went in the room, and that scent, that vibe, that energy or whatever it was completely gone. The room felt totally fine. And so we did our investigation there. And the only thing that we seemed to capture was there's a very long staircase from the rooms that go down to leave the building. So you can't get down it quickly, and you make a lot of noise when you're going down the stairs. Like, it's an old wooden floor, so you can't get down it without making a racket. And at one point, I was sitting by the door, and I heard footsteps, and I heard somebody like right outside our door, and then I heard them start to walk down the stairways. And this is in the early hours of the morning. I immediately opened the door, and nobody was there. And we captured that on audio as well. You can hear me say, "What's
wonderful.
That? Somebody's out there," and I just opened the door, and the hallway's like right on the other side of the door, and bam, no one's there. And so that was unexplained. I thought that was creepy, but that. And then we stayed in the room, and I don't recall anything else really happening. And we captured like weird bright orbs and stuff like that. But as you know, I'm a really big skeptic. So, strange footsteps that were right outside the door, and you open it, and nothing's there.
So, what do you think of these white things that are floating around, Jason? What's your opinion about them? Those light white orbs or these rings or whatever. What do you think they are?
I would probably say in most cases, dust, sometimes insects. It seems to me wherever I've set up my cameras, I've captured orbs. Some are obviously dusts. Some are obviously dust. But other things I've had a hard time explaining. There was one time I had the camera set up in, because most of the places that we investigated were houses. And one time in the basement, I started to see like some weird stuff. So I went down there to debunk it. And what it was spiders and spider webs. So I was able to figure it out. Yeah, I mean, I've seen this weird thing, this weird thing moving around. I'm like, what is that? So it turned out to be spiders. And then I captured things that I really couldn't explain. I have one video. You see this, I want to say, I can't remember because we did a lot of houses, but it might have been the same place where the spiders were. This thing comes out of the floor and floats like right by the camera. And that was probably the best paranormal evidence that I've had. God, because there's no light sources down there. It's almost like an apparition came from the floor and slowly meandered past the camera and tried to recreate it, tried to figure it out, never could figure it out. And a lot of people have looked at it and thought it was paranormal. I tend to not say things are paranormal or not paranormal. I tend to say that it's just unexplained. I have no idea what it was. But yeah, in a lot of cases, I think it's just dust or insects. I've had people send me pictures before that I've been able to identify as not, as being insects. A lot of people report these, I think they're called rods. It's been kind of a thing online. You could just Google rods, and it's these elongated shapes that look really strange,
right,
that are whizzing past the screen. And I know those to be insects in a lot of cases, and it just has to do with the exposure of the camera that makes it look really weird. But I don't know. I'm skeptical. But on that same note, I'm not totally shut off to the paranormal either. I've captured really, really bright orbs in that White Eagle place that were not close to the lens of the camera. that were good 6-7 feet away, and they would like change direction at nearly a right angle and zoom off. So I don't know. I guess you'd consider me to be skeptical and open.
Were you able to see them with your own eyes, or did the camera catch that?
No, just the camera. Because when you have those night vision cameras, you know, they're shooting out the infrared light, it's going to illuminate stuff like dust and insects. So it really picks up everything. So it's really hard to determine. I know the ghost shows out there, they like, particularly like Ghost Adventures, you know, anytime they have one of these orbs, they attributed it to something paranormal. But that does remind me, actually, I did have a case where I had a psychic as part of my team, and we were in this lady's basement, and this is on video, and there is one of these orbs, and it goes right into the throat of the psychic. And at that moment, the psychic felt like she was being choked.
You're and she's kidding. Holding,
yeah, and she's holding her throat, and she's like kind of coughing a little bit, and she's
goodness.
Yeah, so it's I don't know what to think. There's just too much weirdness in the universe. You know, I do kind of believe in psychic phenomena. The psychic that we take out, we don't tell her anything about the locations that we were going to, and there were several times where, particularly one, well, it was a lot of times, but one case that pops into my head where we went to this house, and she basically told me that a guy had a heart attack on the front lawn, and that's what happened. And there's no way, nobody told her that, because we take her, we don't even tell her where we're going. So how did she know that somebody died on the front lawn of a heart attack?
Picked up on it. She just be able to see and get that information. That's the gift.
It's crazy. And then we had another one where it was kind of out in the country, and the people had some land, and they had like a pump house that was away from the house. And it was the same kind of deal where she went out to this pump house and was like, hey, some guy had a heart attack here and died. But what was extraordinary about that one is audio equipment was set up there and then we all left, right? So the audio equipment was just rolling on its own. And when we reviewed it, you could hear somebody there sound like they have a heart attack, you know, gasping and, you know, that sort of thing. So that was crazy.
Oh, weird. Wow.
I kind of believe it, because, like, how would you know that? And what were those sounds by the pump house? Like, I mean, it wasn't like a rat crawling around or a cat. I mean, it sounded like a person having a heart attack, and nobody was around there.
Wow, that's crazy.
So
I know what happened. That's amazing. That's amazing.
So there's definitely an aspect of life on this earth and the universe that we don't understand. I just think a lot of it is nonsense, because when I get on YouTube, and I don't spend a lot of time looking at the paranormal, in fact, I hardly spend any time at all, unless we're going to have a show. But, you know, there's people that are blatantly fabricating evidence using software and After Effects and all these other Photoshop stuff. And when people do that, they really kind of do a disservice to the community, because it makes it difficult to believe people, you know, especially with UFOs. I mean, if you go online on YouTube and you want to look at some legit UFOs, you almost can't anymore, because, you know, they're the ones that are blatantly, obviously fake, you know, with these huge motherships flying around in the sky. But there are ones that people fake that really make you wonder, like, you know, who knows? And then you also have a lot of these UFO things that have gone on in the past decades where people were abducted and they captured video of it, And then, you know, they do a special on Fox about it. And, you know, the TV show has their experts come on there and say, oh, yeah, this is totally authentic. The video hasn't been altered. And then you find out 5 years later that the video was hoaxed. And so it really does a disservice to it, you know. But it is what it is.
Yep, exactly. That's too bad. Yeah, they feed on the curiosity and people's vulnerabilities. You know, that's just not right.
Yeah, it's created a mockery of people that want to believe in the paranormal. You know, it's just disinformation. I hate it. I hate fakery. I've know people that have fake stuff that went viral, and it was just, there was one video of a cat at night downstairs, and I don't know the person personally, but he had the cat, and he had the cat levitating, like walking on the floor, and then it's like gets picked up off the floor and nobody's there. It's like levitating. You know, it's like, why would you take your time to do that?
How is he able to do that? He has a lot of time on his hands, right?
People that are far better with computers than I, and I'm pretty good with computers. I specialize in audio. So, you know, I'll make voiceovers and commercials and stuff like that. But I know nothing about video editing or photo editing or anything like that. I tried to learn, and then I just lost interest. But people need to stop just doing that because it's just ridiculous.
Well, still, you don't want that to set the standard in the industry for people that are really honest and there is some proof. That's bad when people try and not be honest with their evidence and what they're doing. It's not right.
It's just for attention. People just want attention. And there's so much competitiveness in the paranormal. Oh, my God. You had groups fighting groups, people fighting people. I'm better than you. Your theories are wrong. You know, it's just like, I don't know. It makes me believe that everybody's out there to get on a television show, you know.
That's what I feel, too. Exactly. Especially when you go into these paracoms, you know, they're all fighting with each other, or they may be knowing each other, but you just get a feeling that sometimes there's an underlying competition, and, you know, it's not a win-win situation. Yeah, it can happen.
Why is it so competitive?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just think it's just the ego that's involved. People want their spotlight, and they're willing to go and cut the other person off so that they can shine. I have no idea. I just feel that it's just the ego. Instead of sharing their evidence and everybody's, you know, playing off each other and helping each other, it's, you know, I'm going to try and outdo you or, you know, talk down on you or, you know, try and you have to prove to me you're legit or, you know, things like that.
It makes it completely hard.
It is. There are teams that are out there. I know there's teams that are really good. Just you have to be careful in who you're involving with and what their intentions are. Are they there because it's a parlor game, or are they really there to help? You know, bring some answers and bring some closures and, you know, things like that. But there's, like, you know, there's always risk involved when you're in a place like that. Any place you go, there's always risk involved.
And the paranormal is risky, too. I mean, if you look past all the fakery and all the nonsense, and I know of people that have conducted investigations that have ended up in legal disputes, you know. And it's just, it almost seems like it's not worth it to even try and get in the paranormal and investigate. And that doesn't even take into account if there's potentially, and I say potentially, any spiritual danger, because we've talked to a lot of people that have claim that, you know, dark spirits have followed them home. There's all sorts of danger. There's cases of paranormal investigators crawling under houses and getting bit to death by spiders, if you can believe that. So it's a dangerous hobby.
Very dangerous. That's what I've heard, too, from paranormal investigators. They're physically ill. And some of them are running into demonic forces that they shouldn't have gone there, or you know, you open yourself up to those kind of things if you're in that field. Really am. And you can take it home with you. I believe you can take it home with you. So you just got to be very careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know me on the whole. We've had Archbishop Fail on the show, and I totally respect him and what he does. But still, I find myself to be a little skeptical, because I think I've mentioned in the past, I think people create their own realities and create, not saying fake or anything, but I mean like manifest, so it's happening, but they manifest it into their own reality, certain, you know, stuff like possession and stuff like that. But I also, I'm afraid to really think about it too much, because I don't want any dark forces in my life. It's like I have enough trauma as it is right now.
Right, you don't want to attract that either. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's,
think positive if you can. Think positive and, you know, grid yourself and pray and make sure you're protected. It's all good. That's why I like meeting people and reading dead people. I think that's this thing with, you know, mediumship and bringing closure and healing to the people I read. I just, it brings me great joy to be able to channel that information. I feel that's my sole purpose, is to help people bring closure and healing to their loved ones and know that they do exist after they've passed.
Have you ever, I was curious, and we're kind of bouncing around a little bit because I was talking about haunted islands, but have you ever read somebody that you felt was, like, truly evil? Like, somebody sits across from you and you're like, uh-oh. Like a really bad energy.
Let's put it this way. I don't read people that are like that. I will probably make an excuse to not read them, just like bringing on spirits that come through. I don't know who comes through, and if they're bad, I don't want them. So I think that my intention is to bring the people that want healing, true healing and closure and of the highest good to be able to be present. I never had that feeling. If I have any inkling about that, I would probably go and say, no, I wouldn't want to read them, but I wouldn't tell them that. I would probably make an excuse or charge triple or something, but I've knock on wood, I've been very, very fortunate that I haven't had it come across that yet. No,
I think
scan people really well. Very well. And when we do a body, mind, spirit expo, when these people are coming or I'm doing a gallery reading, I can pretty much pick up the energy right away. Very much. So.
Because I know there's some people that I've run into my life that, I mean, you just, their energy is just, I don't know
dark.
If energy is the right word. Yeah, just like, you just want to run the other way from them. Like, and it's not because of any actions or what they say. It's just like, you know, when you kind of just instantly don't like somebody, I don't know.
It's
not very
odd. It is, and your intuition's picking up on that, and that's when you pay attention. Pay attention to those vibes, because it's your soul talking to you. If you don't pay attention to them, then you will. There's consequences. Maybe not good. I don't know. You know, but I tell people, listen to with their body, listen to their intuition. And sometimes it could be imagined. You have to have it in an open mind. You can't just say, oh, my God, this person looks, just because they're dressed in goth clothes or tattoos or anything. No. That is wrong. But when you look at the person's energy and you get a feeling that there's something not right, you can't put your finger on it, 9 times out of 10, you're probably onto something. Definitely pay attention.
Boy, I sure know that first impression, you know, me looking the way that I look. I'm big. I am, and not big in as like super obese. I'm 6'3", I'm 225 pounds, was 250, but I've lost a lot of weight. A big biker and shaved head and goatee, and I just look like I don't know, I just look like a badass.
But Jason,
and so I get treated like that.
But I see you. You're a teddy bear.
A total teddy bear.
No, you can't harm a fly.
Yeah, no. Literally. I could probably harm a fly, but I try not to squash spiders if I don't have to.
Are you really? Seriously, you don't squish them?
Not if I don't have to.
Hey.
Well,
they
you know,
don't
I just
in my house.
I just moved, and I'm in this basement, and it's full of spiders. And when I just paused there for a second, I just looked up in the corner to see if that big ass spider was there, and now it's gone. So I'm wondering where the hell it went.
Where's your shoes?
Oh Lord! Good thing I wear earplugs. Anyway, so. I guess I'll keep going down the list here, and I'll try and stay focused, not knowing where a giant spider is right now.
Okay.
I should have taken care of it when I saw it, but it's my mistake. So here's another one called Dead Man's Island. It's located in Vancouver Harbor in British Columbia. Discovered in 1862 by John Morton, the island was the tree burial ground for the indigenous Squamish. Morton discovered hundreds of red cedar boxes hanging from the tops of trees, and one that had fallen down broken with skeletons inside. Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. The island was
creepy.
Yeah, I know, right? You go to an island, there's a bunch of boxes in the trees and full of bodies. Yeah. It was considered dead ground by the Native Americans, where bloody battles apparently took place between rival tribes. It's reported that 200 warriors were killed on the island. Many women, children, and elders were also held hostages by the Southern Salish tribe. So a lot of people were slaughtered there in wars. Settlers continued to use the island as a cemetery between the years of 1888 and 1892. It also became a quarantine site for victims of a smallpox epidemic, and burial ground for those that did not survive. In 1942, the federal government gave the island to the Navy, and a year later it became and still is the site of HMCS Discovery, a Royal Canadian Navy Reserve, which has some gruesome history. Dead Man's Island is unsurprisingly very haunted, and the first haunting documents back there to 1909.
Wow.
So, yeah. Why would you hang bodies or remains in cedar boxes hanging from trees? You know, anything hanging from trees sounds kind of scary.
That's
I don't know
scary.
What it is.
That is not. Maybe it's a tomb. Who knows? Maybe it's a costume.
Yeah.
I'd
check it out. Why not? But, yeah, that's a lot of death. And if you look at the picture of the island, I mean, we're not talking a huge island here. It didn't look big at all. It looked tiny. That's a lot of death for a large amount, for a small island. And it's interesting, you know, and it makes sense that when I'm talking about these islands, it seems at some point in their history that they are used for either insane asylums or epidemics. So I guess that makes sense because you wouldn't want to spread disease, so they just cart a bunch of people off to an island to die.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Look at how many souls over the years. Unsettled.
Yeah, definitely unsettled ground. Here's another one. Corregidor Island is located at the entrance of Manila Bay in the Philippines. The Spanish first occupied the island in 1570 up until 1898 when it was captured by the Americans during the Spanish-American War. It was serving as the first line of defense and a prison during the Spanish occupation. The island was then fortified by the Americans and became a military stronghold in World War II. In 1941, after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, they attacked Corregidor. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I need hooked on phonics. On May 6, 1942, the overwhelmed Americans capitulated to the Japanese. About 900 Japanese and 800 American Filipinos died during what is called the Battle of Corregidor. Following their defeat, over 3,000 Filipinos and American soldiers were held hostage, starved, and tortured. But in 1945, the Americans remained and attempted to retake the island. During this bloody war, called the Battle for the Recapture of Corregidor, over 1,000 American and Filipino soldiers died, while a staggering 6,650 Japanese soldiers also lost their lives. It is estimated that over 3,000 Japanese soldiers actually died by committing suicide, preferring that option to surrendering. It's one of the largest mass suicides in history. So, yeah. I mean, that's thousands of deaths on that island. There is a tunnel there that is open to the public where a lot of the suicides had happened. And if anybody's brave enough, they can brave that. They even have a ghost tour where you get a flashlight and you can go kind of explore the tunnel complexes and all that. So there's some pictures you can see online. I'm looking at a picture right now that was taken there of three Japanese people, and there appears to be a face standing behind them. But again, I think it's a really bad picture, and I'm going to chalk that one up to pareidolia. It looks like just somebody's trying to find images within an image that aren't there. But that's my skepticism.
Pareidolia, huh? Okay.
Yeah, everything's pareidolia to me. I'm sorry.
Everything is, just imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
It's an illusion, you know? What is it?
Well, you know, I used to be a lot more of a believer, but, you know, I was talking about all this fakery online, and that's kind mm-hmm. of what kind of tilted my opinion a little bit. I saw so much nonsense that I went from being a really dedicated believer in the paranormal, and now I'm kind of like in the middle. I'm kind of leaning on skeptic. So yeah, if people weren't out there causing nonsense, if they weren't out there faking things, then I'd probably still be like total believer. So, So here's another one. Norfolk Island. It's a small island situated in the Pacific Ocean, and it's part of Australia's external territories. It's located 877 miles east of the mainland. Because of its remote location, it was used by the British government starting in 1824 as a dumping site for the worst, most violent criminals. Thousands of convicts ended up on the tiny island, which was described back then as hell on earth. You know, Australia does seem like hell on earth. It seems beautiful, but it seems like everything in Australia will kill you, like the spiders, the snakes, the fish, everything.
Really?
Yeah, didn't you know, like, everything there will kill you?
No.
Okay, that's an exaggeration, but I mean, they have some of the worst snakes in the world. They have some of the worst marine life in the world. They have some of the worst insects in the world. They have I don't remember all of them, but, you know, they have the rack spider. They have just tons of just really, really nasty, nasty things in Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was described hell on earth. Because of its reputation, the island quickly became Britain's most notorious. It became one of Britain's most notorious penal colonies. I guess there was a lot of torture, murders, and all sorts of nefarious activities going on there. Apparently, the guards there were particularly vicious, performing lots of acts of violence on the people there. So that's one of the reasons it's reported to be one of the most haunted islands. That doesn't surprise me. That sounds like a lot of grief, a lot of emotion, a lot of torture, pain, and everything. So I don't think I'll be going there. I'm too afraid of all the nasty things in Australia. Maybe I'm exaggerating that everything there would kill you, but it definitely has that reputation. I mean, if you were to Google Australia with some phrase about it being all sorts of venomous stuff, you would see, there's just so much nasty stuff in Australia.
Wow.
And I don't know why that is. It's stuff like, you know, like I mentioned the marine life. You know, have you ever heard of a cone snail?
No, I never have.
Yeah, you know, when you go to the beach and you're in the water, you're wading in the water, and you see these little snail shells that you collect, like anybody would pick them up. You're like, oh, this is cool, this looks neat. And a lot of those, a great deal of them, are highly venomous. They shoot out this little dart. There's no known antidote. you're pretty much dead if it stings you. This is a little sea snail. I mean, you're talking something that's like an inch long.
It's
terrible. You know. So, yeah. There's a little little history on the cone snail. I went to the Virgin Islands many years ago. And I love snorkeling. I was picking up all sorts of shells. It wasn't until after I came back that I learned that, like, you should not be touching, like, any of these little shells because of that reason. Because if you get nailed by one of these little things, you're pretty much toast.
Wow. Okay.
Don't pick up stuff off the beach there. It's, like, terrible. It's a terrible neurotoxin that it was not pleasant. The Isle of, I don't know how to pronounce this, White, W-I-G-H-T. I'm tempted to say right, but that doesn't make sense. The Isle of Wight, which is off the south coast of England, is renowned for its ghosts and, without a doubt, Britain's most haunted island. Many point to the ley lines going through the island as a reason for the high level of paranormal activity. I guess ley lines are like these... I'm not an expert. Do you know what ley lines are?
They're grids. They're grids, yeah. That are... Yes.
Do they go from one geographical point to another or something?
Exactly.
I don't know much about it. I've heard about it and, like, I've seen it on TV, but apparently it's at intersecting points and people believe, like, there's vortices or something or higher energy. So apparently this island has a lot of ley lines. It's also reported that a lot of master druids knew the importance of the earth's energy and the ley lines at the island, and they would build their sacred sites with, I just said this too, energy vortexes and power points where the ley lines intersect. So they've had a lot of pyramids, standing stones, stone circles, and burial mounds, and a lot of religious sites. So they built those around all these high energy points where the ley lines were, believing it would amplify the energy that was there. Ley lines. That's interesting. Do we have ley lines in America? I assume we do.
No,
I just don't know enough about
it. Do. Yes, but I don't know where. I'm not an expert on that. Ley lines.
So if you're in England, there you go. You can go to White Island and check out where all the druids were hanging out.
Do you believe in druids?
When I think of druids, and this is terrible, I think of druids like on the World of Warcraft, the video game.
Like little elves?
Yeah, because no. Druids, I don't know enough about it. In fact, I think it's one of the subjects I don't know anything about. I imagine the druidic people were, you know, a lot of ancient rituals, and I think of them communing with the earth and earth spells and earth magic, but beyond that, I don't know anything. Maybe you know more than I do on that.
Well, you know, our tarot guy, Mark Freeman, I believe he's a druid. We may have to have him come in back as a guest if that's the case. Because I do believe he is a druid. I'm not quite sure. I don't want to say that, but I think he is. But we could probably put on a guest and learn more about that.
Yeah, I would like to. You know, I'm sorry I haven't been very active in chat because I'm trying to read this information on the islands. But I did just scroll back to the dashboard, and I do notice that we do have a caller.
Yay,
so if you want to take a caller, bring them on. They've been holding for a while. I do apologize for that. So,
Oh, hi there.
Happy New Year. How are you? Who's this?
I'm okay. I'm Daryl. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Hello?
Yeah, I saw you, in chat.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you'd ever... I'm like the only person on your show tonight, so I'm feeling really neglected, you know?
We feel neglected because the last week was really busy. So.
Yeah, right? I can imagine. Oh, boy. Anyway, at least I'm here. I saw something very weird tonight, and I thought perhaps it might have been a hologram, you know? And it's not the first time I've seen a big Godzilla-type dinosaur. like superimposed in Manhattan. And I just can't imagine, like, I couldn't imagine it being real, you know. And I'm assuming it's a hologram. I saw it on the Earth cams. That's where I usually see, like, the weirdest things. And I do have, you mentioned those rods. I'm mystified by them. I have a beautiful collection of them. Some of them are so pretty. But the first time I saw a rod, it was, like, between Jersey and Manhattan. And I actually called the police because I thought it was going to, like, attack New York or something. they said, oh, can we come to your house? I said, I think it would be too late because it had shifted. It was just, like, hovering, you know, when I first saw it. But it started to tilt and move towards Manhattan, like, on, like, it looked like it was going down and it was going to, like, do, I don't know, it was going to land on us gently. It didn't look like it was that aggressive or dangerous, but still, I never saw one. I had no clue what it was. I said, I don't know what it is. It looks like, you know, a train length long, you know, the size of a bus or a train fluorescent light bulb, you know, is the best way I can describe it. And I said, you know, if you wait till you get to my house, it'll be too late, you know, for whatever its intention might be. So I later heard this artillery exchange, and when I saw the that bulb again, it was like its brilliance was gone. It didn't have any, like, it looked like the best I could describe was like a dead cigar, you know. It didn't have any of that brilliant light left in it. And I have seen them looking like dull, like they're almost out of power. And I have an opinion about them. And I left you the link for the Facebook. I have a lot of other different pictures as well, because there's pictures of Manhattan that look like it's like a modern city, and it doesn't even look like our skyline. And then sometimes I have pictures, it looks like it's been destroyed by bombs, like it's totally in rubble. And sometimes I have pictures of Manhattan looking like Cheerios. Like, and there is horrible audio that goes along with this. And I'm talking about, like, excruciatingly loud, like, train wreck sounds, like metal on metal, like a battle. It sounds like a real war is going on. And you can, the visuals are, of, you know, you'll see a lot of, like, flashes of light being, you know, exchange, and it sounds like there's, like, you know, artillery exchange, and it's pretty much every day, you know. I have video to go along with this, so I'm not just talking out of my, you know, whatever, and I'm not one of those Photoshop people. I'm not that talented. All my videos aren't that good quality wise, but you can see what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Now, when I was talking about rods, I'm talking about, like, when you take a still photograph and you have an image that is usually an insect. What you're talking about is, it sounds like you're seeing it with your own eyes, like a UFO, but you're describing it as a rod, right? Rod shaped.
They're rod. Well, I guess they look like, I guess you could call them rods, you know, or lights. You know, better than light bulbs. They look like, but sometimes they look like they're a ladder, you know. There's like three of them. I've had one picture that I had five in the same shot. Like, two were in the water, I believe, and the other three were in the air, in the New York City Harbor area. There's so much activity. I don't know if it's a different dimension, because, like, they trash the city by the end of the night. Like, it looks like they've really, you know, one side won and one side lost, and New York pays. Like, we just look like hell. Like, the skyline, it looks like the buildings are crumbled. And I have pictures, like, I have, like, there's a lot of them, but you don't have to, like, get intimidated. Just go next, you know. You don't have to, you know, look. Some of them I don't remember why I put them up. I'd have to look close at them anyway. But most of them have something really cool to see in the photograph, mostly rods. But one night I found this, like, it was every other, like, length of the rod was red, and then it was nothing. Then it was red and nothing. And it was sticking into the World Trade Center like a needle, like a hypodermic needle is the best way I could describe it. And I believe they, like, suck energy out of us. They take our energy. Some of them come dull. And there's also these balls that seem to follow them, or maybe they get the energy from those glowing globe that they're like, they look like fireballs, but I did a bit, you know, a close up of one of them. They look like fireballs, but they're little, like, they look like little like stuffed animals with a little window, and it's very brilliant, you know. This, it looks like a ball, like a fireball. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I've seen fireballs.
Yeah.
Where do I get the pictures? Where do we check it out?
You could look at
I just tried one of the links. The link that you just sent, it says that the content's not available because I just tried to click it.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, some of my things are private. I'm such a jerk with my settings. Oh, dear. I don't know how to do my settings. I'm so stupid. Some of my things are, like, for anyone to see, and then, oh, God, I don't know why. I didn't want the people at American Express to see my weird stuff, you know?
Oh, well, I totally understand that.
I, like, made that private. Oh, so let me do, I don't know how to do this. If I make you my friend, I guess I could, you could see everything. Let me do that. Wait a second. Let me go into my, I'm in Facebook. Wait. Yeah, you could take a look at the easiest ones are the Earth camera uploads under albums. If you look at photos and then go under albums, you'll see Earth cam uploads. Now, the videos, I don't even think you'd want to start with them because there's a ton of them, and I think you're going to get bored, you know.
What is EarthCam? I'm not, is like a yeah, I don't know what that is.
EarthCam.com. It's the website that you could look at, world, like, let's say, like, on New Year's Eve. You could watch New Year's Eve all over the world. It has every major city in the world, basically, that I guess people volunteer, or I'm not sure how it works. Like, I don't want to sit and hold a webcam out my window. I'll tell you that much. I'm afraid of what's outside my window. But, you know,
that's great.
You know, but they're scary. Some of the stuff you see. I mean, I could show you these aliens that have lived on this building on the High Line. It's the Strand Hotel. They're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're always on the rooftop. And there's a silver disc up there. And it's been there for, like, I think over 3 years now. And you see these, like, people with long necks, and they kind of are cloaked half the time. Like, when they're walking across the roof, you don't see them, then you see them, then you don't, then you do, then you don't. Like, pixelated almost. And they
that I'd like to see, actually. I
could show you live. Why don't we do it live? Let's go to a live webcam. I'm gonna stick the link in in the chat room, and I'm gonna point out what you're gonna look at. Now, I do a trick where I have a program on Safari where I can make things highlighted and I can zoom. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it helps to see the things at night that are not visible. And in the daytime as well, I make things darker. You can't imagine what's in our skies. Like, it's crazy. Today, like, I can't tell you. Today there were black torpedoes going through the clouds. The sky was pitch black. I thought we were going to get, like, squashed. I thought they were going to just, like, zap New York with all these black. And there's black balls all over the, that fly all over Manhattan, like, all day long. They look like meteors or asteroids, but they're not. They're controlled. They can turn around and stop on a dime and change their mind and go in a different direction. All right, so let's see. Which one did I want to show you tonight? You wanted to see the pixelated aliens on the rooftop? Okay,
yeah, definitely.
That's the High Line cam. Let me just give you the Statue of Liberty's link. Because there are some weird things there, too, that I'm fascinated with, that they're there every night. Like, there are these, like, somebody sees them in the sky. I see them, too, in the sky. But these are on the buildings, like, hiding in plain sight, you could almost say. Like let me find your thing from on Safari with you. Okay, paranormal. This paranormal. Here you go. Okay, so let me show you one link, and then I'll find the case. This one I'd like to show you because this is the best view of Manhattan. If you want to go to that one, let's go to this one first, just for now. If you can highlight it a little bit and zoom, you could use there's controls on the EarthCam setting. So you see the whole New York Harbor, right?
Okay, I'm loading into it right now. Let's see. Okay, okay.
You see the whole thing? Now, you need to, I don't know if you can highlight it, you know, because it's dark. It's a really dark picture, but try to zoom a little bit. There's some weird things on the buildings. Like, there's, if you just zoom in and then zoom up so you can, you know, see what the buildings look like. There looks like something that looks like one of those what are those called? Nutcrackers. A nutcracker in general, like Fulham, I guess. I don't know if you can see him if you don't have a highlight.
Pretty pixelated. I don't know. I see the... It's hard to... it's hard to make out. This is interesting. Sure. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm kind of interested by this, and our show's ending. Actually, we're actually over time a little bit. I'm going to start exploring some of these cameras because it's actually pretty neat.
Oh, you have no idea what you see at night, and there's plenty of UFOs. Oh, there's so many UFOs that cross the sky at night, like they're flying balls. But this is one camera, and if you, like, move it over, I've seen so many things. There's, like, the usual cast of characters. Sometimes this looks like Egypt at night. Like, it looks like a grand, majestic, like, Egyptian city with lots of statues. Everything doesn't look like Manhattan anymore. But I've seen, like, Michael Jackson. I hate this. I've been with people, too, when they saw him. He was on the Brooklyn Bridge. As big as, like, a giant. And it 100% looked like him. Sometimes he's in this camera, and it looks like he's with the cast of The Wiz. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but I have the video, so I can prove it, you know? Thank God. I would probably sound insane. The other thing, so you wanted to see, let me get the the Highline camera, because that's a better camera. That's better lit as well. So,
send me the link to that one.
It's a better lit one. And if you want to just, like, bug out, go to Times Square. There's a guy that holds the camera there. He's, like, an active, like, he doesn't just leave the camera streaming. He holds it, and when he sees weird shit, he zooms in on it. And there's so many weird things going on Times Square at any given time. There are, like, orbs crossing the street. There's things that shapeshift. It's just crazy. But where's the hold on a second. Times Square. Here we go. Wait a second. Oh, here, the Highline camera. This is the Strand Hotel. And, I mean, I don't know, like, I try to get people to look at it. You know, nobody cares. Like,
well, I'm not doubting you. I know with stuff in the sky is, you know, we as people don't normally walk around looking up at the sky. So it wouldn't surprise me if there was a lot of weird stuff flying around. But I am curious, and I'm going to explore some of these cameras because it's interesting to me. But we're 15 minutes over time, so we're going to have to close the show.
I'm going to send you the link. Hold on.
All right, send it to me.
Okay. Yeah, look at this now, real fast pace. It's the Highline, New York. These, I'm telling you, they live there. They never sleep, from what I can tell. They're always on top of this roof. And they're on two levels, and they fight. I've seen them shoot a cannonball depending on the lighting, I can't always catch the lighting quite correctly, but the Highline camera. But they're fighting.
Okay.
They're in a battle. There's a battle going on in Manhattan. I don't know if it's in a different dimension or if it has any impact. Sometimes it looks like there's a lot of radiation being thrown on us. What city are you guys from?
We're in Oregon, Portland.
Oh, yeah. You have it.
So,
you got, they're all over the city.
So is this this Highline thing, is this the two big buildings that are, like, straight ahead, the two dark buildings? Is that the building you're talking about?
The first building you see, but if you notice, there are people and other beings on other rooftops. I don't think there's one rooftop on Manhattan that's not occupied by some sort of alien, and they all look different. They're all different sizes. Some are animals, like, some are really large, like, humans. That look like humans. These are like, I'm not sure what these are. I don't know, I'm not that familiar with the different, you know, if there are different species, what these would be called. But I think that you can see them all, I think you could see them. They're almost standing in a line right now. I've never seen so many on the roof standing at, like, yeah, I've never seen that many so visible. There's a silver thing that's above them. And you'll see them, there's some other, they're not all the same sizes. This is a lot of them, so I wonder if they're leaving. Maybe they're getting out here.
Is this, okay, I got to make sure I'm looking at the right building. So the image I'm looking at, there's a lot of light, white light, and there's a star thing on the building. It's the first building. Then there's two buildings in the foreground that are kind of side by side. Are they on those buildings that are...
I think someone, it looks like he's got an erection right now, or his hand is in his pocket, and he's wearing a long white robe. Now he looks like he's wearing a red cap. There's another guy in a building kind of lower and closer to us that also is wearing some sort of a white cap, like a sailor cap. You know what I'm describing? There's a building, then there's one lower than that that's also like a white building with a guy. It looks like he's holding a pizza now. Or some, you know what I'm saying? With a hunchback and a white cap. They're going to change. I mean, they change a lot. So, you know, his face now kind of looks a little green and monkeyish. And the guy behind him looks like Zeus. You know, he looks like he's stepping on something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm scanning it.
I know it could be, you know, I see this like a lot. So they change every night. They're not, well, this is a new guy. Now the guy that looked like he was, like, putting his hands... Oh, no. Depends on your perspective. It looked like he was like a chick then, but he changed again. Mm. It changes a lot. There's a guy with a little cap on in between the Strand Hotel and the pizza guy holding a white pizza that looks like he's just holding his hat. He's wearing a black cap, a black jacket, and white pants. And they do move. It moves subtly. I can't just... they're there. I mean, they're definitely there every night, and I guess I've been researching, you can call it, because I've been watching them for a few years, just trying to figure out... But they have weapons. Now, there's a guy under him with a weapon. There's another guy down... You know, as soon as you start, like, your eyes can kind of, like, go wide. I zoom in and push it over and look at the buildings next to it. And you'll start to see flashes of light and other beings or other kind of humanoid type of things or clowns or animals. And you'll also see some things that shine. Sometimes they have these red lights and they wind up like having like everyone with a red light wins or something. Like they blink those red lights on top of their head. And I think they communicate with the red lights. I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to, we're supposed to end the show 20 minutes ago, but what I'm going to do is we're going to end the show, and then I'm going to actually, because I can't really focus too much because I'm trying to do too many things at the same time, But I'm going to get off, when we get off here, I'm going to look at that and look at it a little bit closer. But I want to thank you for calling in. It's interesting.
You could Skype me anytime. I'd love to show you more. This is like just a scratch of the surface of the stuff that you can see in the city.
I
look at traffic cams, you know, but I don't do this like because I'm like, I'm not constantly on these webcams. But generally, I'm on them when I hear an explosion because I hear the battles. I mean, they scare me. I want to find out which way to run if there's a fire or an explosion. I'm just going to go the other way. It's more for survival, but then you can't get help or get, you know, involved in the whole scenario and just wonder, what the hell are they doing here? What are they, you know? What are they actually, you know, where are they? Are they, what's the dimension? what, you know?
I'm going to look at it, and hey, send us a message on Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, and then so that way I can respond back to you.
Send me also if you can.
Okay.
You'll see everything if you friend me. I don't know how to do my settings, so I'm a jerk. So it's Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, right?
Yeah, send me a message so I know who you are. But we got to end the show because we are way over time.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. We got to wrap it up.
Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Bye-bye.
That's actually kind of cool, these cams. I didn't know they existed, so I'm going to explore those this evening. Sherry, you should check it out.
Okay, well. Well, definitely. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you. We went a little long tonight, and we'll be back next Sunday at the 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we're not sure on a guest yet. Hope everybody has a great week, and see if we can play a little commercial to end the show. And unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll close it out.
Nope. Happy New Year, and God bless.
Happy New Year.
I'm author Edwin F. Becker. In 1971, there was a Chicago haunting so horrific that it was the first ever paranormal event televised by NBC, and a glimpse of a true exorcism. My book, True Haunting, tells a story. It is one that nearly destroyed my life and did destroy the lives of others. True Haunting is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or you can visit me at edwinbecker.com.